Kai Vada reset the controls in Vanguard's fully programmable small arms range and slipped another magazine into her Rossi Smith. She aimed at the lowest of the five targets, something with tentacles. A green light blinked.
Most of the pure target shooting I did was learning to shoot from my parents.
Another target, the next higher, something with teeth. Another green light.
Then I did some hunting. Not a lot, and some of it was archery.
Another target, this one an armored spacesuit. Another green light.
Your turn, Major.
No thanks. I'm past my peak. Another time.
Kai nodded, shut down the system, and reset the ventilation.
So back to Turek. My guess is that he'll start going directly for ship manufacturers. He's got Bissonette, and they make their own warships, but not very big ones. And the capacity for the largest ships was limited to only about 5 a year. You blew a year's production in one battle.
So he'd be looking for facilities that manufacture large ships in quantity?
Yes. Not many planetary space forces need those. Smaller ships are sufficient for most in-system jobs, handling the kind of pirate incursions most of us saw before Turek. So there hasn't been a large market for them. It's been saturated by just a few manufacturers. I strongly recommend contacting those entities when we come back out of FTL and seeing if they've had any thefts, attacks, or even large orders recently.
And recently would be...
Within the past 2 or 3 standard years. The big ships take that long to complete.
Some systems might order larger ships now that they've seen the menace. We need a better way of detecting the wrong kind of order, don't we?
Well, my recommendation would be to see what orders have been made. Quantities, payment sources, and so on. And then look for anomalies. The Moscow Confederation may have useful data.
At some point, Turek is going to run out of his own resources. There can't be enough pirates in the universe to crew hundreds of ships, govern all the territory he's conquered, do all the mundane chores that a fleet needs done. Who would join forces with someone like that if they weren't under direct threat?
A good question. I would say criminal organizations, but they're a minority of the population. They are good at intimidating more people, though. Major political or religious movements?
There's the anti-Humods.
Like the people on Gretna. But I don't know how prevalent that view is. The militant side of it, I mean. The anti-Humods I grew up with were harmless, just very earnest and ready to explain how the real human race was disappearing.
We have some concerns. Our intel has been watching a couple of seriously anti-Humod governments over the past 10 years or so. They could be a source of funding if Turek convinces them he's anti-Humod and out to restore the position so-called real humans deserve. If any of the governments on our list are the ones ordering warships, I'd be concerned.
Well, until we come out of FTL, we can't even ask the questions. Nor can I pick Captain Yamini's brains, since he's on another ship. So let me bounce another set of ideas off you, if you don't mind. And that's how best to use the slender tactical advantage we have of being able to tap Turek's transmissions and operate in channels he doesn't have. We hope.
Down jump 15 minutes. Secure for down jump.
Time flies. I cut it too close. I'll see you on the bridge.
She was there with 5 minutes to spare. Nothing should be here. This was just a convenient mapped jump point far from anything habitable or worth mining. There should be an Ansible, though, for the convenience of passing ships like theirs. Or the enemies. As she'd ordered at the start of the voyage, weapons went live at T-2. Ransom should be out now, advance scout for them. A minute crawled by, then another, then Vanguard lurched out of FTL into normal space. Scan blurred by down-jump turbulence.
Nothing so far. Empty as a beer bottle in the morning, and the Ansible's live.
Well, that's good.
Argelos, Yamini, Pettigrew, and Baskerville all reported in within 15 seconds of their expected time. The three lighter ships micro-jumped out to keep watch. Kai had allotted 2 hours here, time to strip the news from the Ansible, share it, even discuss it. But she didn't plan to have everyone clustered and vulnerable. The automated Ansible had a minimal number of system boosters, but Ransom, reckless as always, micro-jumped within a quarter second of the Ansible itself, stripped out the news bulletins, and shared them with the others immediately. The image of a man in crimson and black came up on the screen.
That's Turek. We've seen a picture of him before.
Interesting choice of postures. Notice, no podium, no column. The only scale to measure him is the sky and the stars. The way he's folded his arms, it's like something off a poster or a book cover. He's claiming authority.
You will all know my name. You will all fear my name. I am Gamus Turek.
Insanity? Why would he send out something like this now?
Well, let's listen. They listened to the rest of it. Watched the massacre of civilians. The town burning. Next came bulletins from different news services, commenting on Turek's speech.
Save those. We don't have much time. Let's consider Turek's own statement first. Why would he give his name now? Remember that spy with the suicide trigger who died saying his name?
He's worried. Something has shaken his confidence in his plan.
I don't know why. We bloodied his nose a couple of times, but no worse than that. So far, he's won every system he's attacked.
That we know of. He might have been unsuccessful somewhere.
I agree. But even if he hasn't had a major loss, he would be running into some problems of scale by now. I don't care how many ships he's got to have crew for them. Reliable crew. Lots more than he started with. And he's got to have supplies for them, and munitions, or the ships are useless for war. That's a lot of resources. It isn't just the money, it's also the market. Where can he go for resupply?
If he's got allies among the anti-Humod systems, that may be his funding source. They could also be hauling his supplies in commercial vessels.
Jeffrey Baines, practical tactics for regional conflicts.
Kai stared at the screen, confused. Douglas smacked his forehead.
Yes. That's what I was thinking of. That's his playbook. That's what he's been using. And that picture of Baines, the frontispiece, all dressed up in some kind of costume.
The Royal Irregulars, blue and yellow instead of maroon and black.
Explain, please. I don't remember that source in our tactical studies.
You wouldn't, because we didn't use it. Baines wasn't actually military. He was an enthusiast, an amateur historian. His tactical instincts were good, but he didn't really understand modern space warfare.
It's been effective for Turek so far.
Yes, but Baines doesn't go beyond the elementary. Look, you've been able to defeat his people even when you were outnumbered. You picked up his tactical approach right away. You were able to improvise something effective against him.
Why didn't he use something else?
Maybe he doesn't know which to use. Most sources now assume a force with certain proportions of ship types he may not have. Or maybe he can't get his people to understand them.
Or he doesn't trust them. He started with criminals, pirates, and station side both. People so unreliable he had to implant them with suicide triggers to be sure they wouldn't blab his name.
He's got instant communication. And people he doesn't completely trust, well, that's going to constrain his tactics, isn't it?
Absolutely. And inhibit his subordinates, and annoy them, too.
Lee looked up from the pilot's seat.
Down jump turbulence.
Hugh turned to look at the screen himself as other ships reported the same.
Estimates? By the turbulence, big and fast.
Lee looked at Kai. Douglas, to one side, looked as though he wanted to speak, but didn't.
We run.
Hugh looked surprised, but Douglas gave a tiny nod.
Priorities getting to Cascadia. Close formation. Jump on my mark. Come out at the next jump point in the same formation as here. Weapons hot. And immediately go into yellow 3.
She waited as they acknowledged, and Teddy Ransom micro-jumped back to his place, then gave them the signal.
What do you think that was?
Worst case, pursuit. And maybe we just missed our chance to take out Turek, but I don't think so. I'm wondering if somebody found out where we were going, and that was a tight formation of his ships.
You mean a leak from Mackenzie?
Kai felt stupid for not having thought this through before.
Not necessarily. Turek knew we left Boxtop with you. The logical destination was your home planet. He must know Stella's in Cascadia, and that I'd go there. This is on the logical route. All it would take is one person on your home world telling him when we left. Would you vouch for everyone in your system?
No. But I don't like the idea that we might have a leak somewhere. Or that there was someone to intercept and act on it so quickly. If that was pursuit, they were within an hour of us, and they probably know where we're headed next.
Or it could have been someone making a fast transit through because they were worried, having run into that broadcast somewhere else. Have to say, I'm glad you decided to leave, though, just in case.
Let's look at the rest of what we pulled off the Ansible. I'm sure the others are.
The first,
timestamped only shortly after Turek's broadcast, were simply comments on it. But down the stack came more disturbing reports. One of Salyan's two manned Ansible stations had been blown, apparently by local terrorists, with the loss of all its personnel. A second message from Turek made it clear that this was because they had harbored ships from Bissonnette's militia, and that he would do worse to anyone who supported an allied force opposing him.
They deserve it, after the way he treated you.
Nobody deserves it, even when it makes a tidy picture.
Notice, this is the second time he's mentioned an allied force. I think he's realized that potential because you've bested his people twice now. If he has agents on Slaughter Key, and it would be smart to assume he does, he may know Slaughter Key privateers have been ordered to Cascadia. Or agents at intermediate stops or on Cascadia may see a buildup.
Despite his conviction that Cascadia Station was safe, Toby had no intention of making Stella angry enough to forbid his going out at all. He told his escort where he was going and did not object when they fell in behind him. Everyone knew the O'Keefe Ice Cream Palace. Everyone knew it was the place lots of students met in the evenings, just as they knew that ice cream had multiple meanings, not all related to frozen treats. He had been there before, many times. Zori would be there at 1945, she'd said. He slid into a booth and ordered his usual, five variations on the theme of chocolate. She didn't expect him to wait for her. She'd order her own when she arrived. His two escorts watched the chaos with obvious disdain as he ate. He could imagine what they were thinking. Kids, noise, silliness, stupidity. Possible infractions of the code of courtesy.
Not your crowd. Older kids. Zori won't want to stay here if it's this noisy. Her security...
Her parents insisted she have an escort in the evenings, though by day they let her travel alone. One of Toby's escorts stepped nearer to him. The other looked toward the entrance. One of the employees, an older man, bustled toward Toby.
Excuse me. Can you help, please? I've put in a call for help, but these ruffians...
The escorts glanced at each other, then at Toby.
We're on duty.
I'll stay here. Promise.
Do that. Do not leave this booth.
And they were off, wading into the thickening crowd.
Complimentary drink with our thanks.
Toby glanced up.
Thanks, but...
A fine spray tingled on his face. Down a lengthening dark tunnel, he saw, very clearly, the tiny face of the man who had sprayed him.